and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRadio.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the world's first internet radio station dedicated to startups and tech companies. If you haven't already done so, make sure to hit the like and subscribe button. And if you're feeling good today, leave us a nice comment. We always read all of them. That said, today I do have a guest from the TV industry, from the startup Television AI. Hey, Alkay, how you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Totally my pleasure. We may tell the people out there that you do have some experience in your past with media companies. I've been stalking you a little bit on LinkedIn, and down here in the show notes, wherever you're watching this or listening to this, there will be a link to our blog post. And in our blog post, there are the show notes. And there you'll find the link to his LinkedIn profile. And I found there, for example, Axel Springer, a big media corporation here in Germany, also an active startup investor of Funke Digital, also a publishing house, I would say, usually newspapers, as well as the tech company Ericsson. Can you tell us a little bit about your life and how it brought you to today, your position as CEO and founder of Television AI? And then we get into what you guys are actually doing there.
Sure. So born in Istanbul, grew up in Frankfurt, but all my professional life, I worked for international media companies. Like you said, Axel Springer is one, obviously has many, properties in from publishing to online media to television, etc. And then moved on to Funke, where I was also in a similar field, basically. Always on the technical side of things, engineering, product development, technical topics, basically. And last but not least, I was working at Ericsson, also on the technical side of things, in the field of products and technical topics there as well, where I had the pleasure to also work with a lot of like media companies all around the world, North America, across Europe, etc. And when I left, I wanted to explore more this side of the TV and media business, where you can make decisions and also be creative based on data. And so that's how the whole journey with Television AI started. So basically founded the company and looked at the market, what's required, and started hacking and building and getting feedback from the market.
That's a rather uncommon story for StartupRate.io so far. Apparently, this year, all the startup founding stories involve in one way or another a bar, a beer, or wine. And secondly, there is also usually the case that people bump during their professional life into problem and they want to solve that with the startup. Was it the same for you?
Right. So you could say that the problem came in a different shape. So I saw when I was working in this media companies that a lot of big new players, especially from North America entering the European market, they would come very well equipped when it comes to technology, machine learning, computer vision, to make their decisions on, what to produce, what should be, what should a thumbnail look like, even produce trailers, etc. Like look at Netflix. Making even the creative decisions largely on data points extracted using machine learning and computer vision models, and then combining that with the power of human intuition and to make great decisions, amplifying human capabilities basically. And I always wanted that also in Europe, and didn't see that much. Of course, there are exceptions. Of course. But I wanted to contribute to that basically. And I would say the problem there was really, I wanted to see that to be, be present in Europe. And I didn't see that while I was working across Europe with all these different broadcasters and publishers. And that was the main, the reason why I thought maybe it makes sense to build something where we could be the one, helping these broadcasters And that's the origin basically of Television AI, that we wanted to have be one little part that would contribute to that transformation and help these broadcasts and publishers to make the same type of quote, like decisions based on data, supporting their creative teams and operations and data and content teams with these great tools, leveraging machine learning and computer vision to make even better content decisions, basically.
I see. And we may add that today's video is sponsored by Invest in Hessen, since you guys are headquartered here in Frankfurt. For many people, it may sound a little bit strange, but actually there is a big scene here in Frankfurt, Rhein-Main area, of companies working with TV, radio, or video productions. Many people may know the dragons from Game of Thrones. This was made by Pixelmondo, also a company originating from the Rhein-Main area, still with offices in Frankfurt, but now spread across the world. So you guys are helping television stations to apply AI. Is that what you guys are doing?
Exactly. And what we also do is we just don't want to be like another AI company in the media scene. What we want is, and that was also one of the things I wrote down in the beginning, was that if we don't find a reason, specific use cases where we can help these companies, then Television AI doesn't deserve to exist, basically. It has to die then. But then we found, I would say last year, these niche use cases where we can actually be very pragmatic and have concrete examples of problems or pain points that we can help with. And there are like three or four of them, one being, creating automatically, the motion thumbnails for your gallery, the automatically trailers where you don't have high profile trailers, right? So if you look at video streaming offers on the market, of course, there's great blockbusters and they have trailers, production companies have the money to put into the production of promotion material. But then you have also content like, I don't know, documentaries about certain niche content, which might have, might have 100,000 viewers or something like that. And they say, where should we put the money for the promotion content? And it might not end up on these niche products. So what we want to do is there, for example, in order to ensure a great user experience for all the audience, not just those that are interested in the higher blockbuster, the blockbusters and what have you. We want to say, okay, for those you have a trailer, but for the other ones, you might be able to leverage machine learning, computer vision to give you a great substitute that looks good enough. And sometimes even great. that works great in your product, and you resolve the issue of having this bias of the great content gets all the promotional content, great key arts and trailers and what have you. And then a niche product where you have maybe like, I don't know, 100,000 viewers or something, doesn't deserve to get the promotion material at the end. So what we do is, hey, let's spend a little bit of money and automate that and have a great substitute there. And then what ends up happening is that across your product, if you want to, whatever you want to watch, you can provide the same experience. There will always be a trailer. It will always be like great thumbnail, etc. That's the goal there.
I am trying to think how I would describe you guys. One option would be you are helping with automation, small budget productions to look professional in terms of like trailers, thumbnails, and so on. And the other one would be a more business-like description that you guys are helping the long tail of the video and video production to look professional, to apply AI there. Would you agree with both?
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. But what I usually say is that we provide an AI powered video editor in the cloud. So, and we help you then with these specific cases where it's a lot of like manual work, or where it's not justified to put the money in for all the video editing. That's where we help you basically. So like I said, we provide you with an automated way of creating motion thumbnails, automate trailers, and also with news clips, which is the recent finding is where we help publishers and broadcasters to create these news clips. You've probably seen them on TV or online media, 60 to 90 seconds. There is a voice reading out some news, and then suitable to the topic and the things mentioned in the audio voiceover, you see the right pictures. You know, if they talk about the production of or distribution of COVID vaccine, you might see some laboratories filling up the packages and what have you. And what we do is basically, instead of someone sitting down for 2 hours to find the material, find the scene, cutting it so that at the moment when the voiceover speaks about a certain topic, the right picture is seen. That takes maybe 2 hours, let's say, or 3 hours to create a clip. And we can do that in like 5 to 10 minutes or even less, you know, because we look at the video automatically, every frame, every audio wave, etc. And we look at the article that has been written. We create a synthetic voice, basically, and then suitable to what the voice is actually talking about or narrating, then we find the right moment. And from hours of material, we find those 60 seconds of material that fits well, basically.
I do believe many people who have been charged with those tasks are now happy they don't have to do that anymore. On the other hand, that also lets me to think about, is there already something like a channel out there, for example, on YouTube that does this almost fully automatically?
Right. So that's actually one of the great things that we see is that the editors are very happy with that, right? So imagine, let me just describe you this persona. Imagine there is a young editor writing the article, and typically at these publishers, what they do is they write the article and it's great and the content is, you know, amazing. But it's text form. And the problem is that when you publish that text, basically, you know, people, you are less likely to be discovered on Google and Bing and what have you. People only read the article and that's it. But if you have pictures and especially videos, there's much more engagement. People are, you know, staying on your website longer. It's great for your ad numbers and all that, right? Because people spend more time on your website when reading the article. And also you get the benefits also that Google and Bing and all these aggregators will find you much more likely and position you on top, basically, because you are much richer in terms of the content, basically. And creating these videos is often not a wise decision, because you never know, will that article actually bring enough views and ad views and clicks and what have you, in order to justify the cost to produce that 2-minute clip. But if you drop that price to 10% of the original cost, then it's a no-brainer, because then the cost is so low. And the great thing also on top is that the person writing the article can now also create the video. You don't need to bother your colleagues you want to actually create the great videos and not your 60-second video for your article. Instead, you can do it right away without even having the expertise in video editing. And then for the editor-in-chief, it's great because the staff is now empowered to create videos, while in the past they were only creating the text, basically. And it was always for the editor-in-chief a risky bet, because if I have 2,000-3,000 euros per day to create videos, which of my articles should actually get the video? Now with Television AI, you can just say, you know, the cost goes so much down, I can create a video for all my content, basically. So it's not a risky bet anymore.
That means you enable stations like with full-time news staff to flood basically the internet with their video content.
Right, exactly. So they can take the material that they already have, the articles that they're already writing for the newscast and what have you, right? Or they might even create new articles. But the final thing is that you can now, you have a totally different, much more powerful tool set where you can create all these videos without the additional overhead of money and communication and team and what have you. Instead, people writing these articles can now also create the video. So, yeah.
That sounds pretty interesting. Are you right now limited, like in terms of cooperation partners, to Europe, to Germany, or can any radio, TV station, whatever, reach out to you globally?
Yeah, you can reach out globally. We support, I think it's over 70 languages. So you can, and then also the visual components are not limited to language. So a car looks like a car in Germany the same way it looks in the US. We even had some very interesting POCs in India, and I remember this one prospect from Texas who runs a rodeo channel, and they were quite happy with the results, but the problem was that it was more like a staff thing that they said it's not the right time, but they were super interested that we were able to create trailers and clips for the rodeo channel, you know. So that was so it's not limited. Please just reach out to us and we can arrange something.
Talking a little bit about Television AI, the company itself, how many guys are you right now?
Oh, it's super small. It's basically just, depending on how you count, it's two and a half people. It's super small. We leverage a lot of like open source projects and we're super pragmatic. The initial funding was my own money, basically. So we didn't receive any funding so far. The only thing we do is we have a corporate, we work with Microsoft as part of their startup program, basically, which gives us access to technical advice and resources in the cloud. And then we also at the moment in the program of the Media Lab in Munich, basically, which gives great access to the industry in Munich, right? Because what maybe some of your listeners don't know outside of Germany is that, or if you're not in the field, obviously, how should you know? But a large part of the media industry, all these public broadcasters and pay TV stations and private broadcasters are actually based in Munich or Bavaria, let's say. The sorts of like Sky and ProSiebenSat.1 and, all these folks. And so it gave us great access to that network, basically. So we could leverage those connections and then test our hypothesis if we're actually doing the right thing. And it looks like we're on the right path, I would say. So we see a lot of like traction from different areas, but I think the product is now finally coming to a point where we have the right stickiness. So like I said, when once editors have access to this tool, they love it. They don't want to give it back. They want to extend POCs and they back their colleagues to actually get this software in the workflow, in their tool set. So we're on track to get there. I would say I don't want to talk too big, but we create a clear value for the editors. So their life gets better with Television AI.
That is a good quote. The life of editors gets better with Television AI. That pretty much sounds like you are on the step to start real scaling there. Are you currently looking for external investors?
Right. So, like I said in the beginning, the funding was my own money, and what we want to do first is we want the stickiness before we scale, basically. Because having millions of euros in the beginning doesn't help you if the product is not sticky. But if you get later the money and you have a sticky product, then the money will multiply your reach quite nicely. And so at the moment, we're not looking for money, but I think in the next 3 to 6 months, there will be serious steps to reach out to our network. We're already talking to some of the investors, let's say, across the globe, but we always tell them like we're not looking for money right now, but we want to establish a network of of investors that once we decide to seriously look for money and that we would then reach out to them. But if there's someone in the audience that is interested to talk to us, please feel free to reach out. So that would be super interesting because at some point our customer acquisition cost will go up, and so at that point, like it is for all these B2B SaaS companies, your customer acquisition costs will go up, and the money that you need to get your customers or prospects in the funnel and then push them through the funnel. So at some point, you will need money upfront.
Mm-hmm. I see. That sounds like a Series A closing end of this year, beginning of next year.
Let's see.
We'll see. Aha. So, okay. It was just a pleasure having you here on StartupRadio.io. All the best for you and everybody who's drawn in by the trailer of this video. We can tell them that we made it with your tool. Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it. And best of luck. And let us know when you raise your funding.
Will do. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
If you are a professional looking at the European startup scene, Germany is a place you cannot miss. Fortunately for you, there is StartupRad.io. the authority on German startups. This English-only podcast brings you fresh interviews each week. Most likely, you have never heard or read anything on these startups before in English, but you will in the future. Be ahead of the curve and subscribe to StartupRad.io podcast, or check for the StartupRad.io internet radio station. Check your Alexa for the StartupRad.io skill as well.